morning, church. Would you stand in the house this morning? We've come to worship the Lord. He is good. He is amazing. Father, we love you in this place.
Power, and your name is high. just want to speak in the name of Jesus. And over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Sing his name, Jesus. Oh, we sing no other name but Jesus. Shout it! Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the trees. Jesus in the darkness over
Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands today and just declare the name of Jesus over this service today? Lord, we declare your name over this place today. We declare that this is your place, Lord God. And today, Lord God, we have come to exalt your name, to lift your name up over everything that we say and do. Lord God, you're worthy of the highest praise today. And so we just declare the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, we're reminded that you said that your heavenly Father has given you all authority in heaven and on earth, and that you have extended that authority to us, Lord. And so today, Lord God, all the different situations and needs and troubles and struggles that we're facing today, we speak your name of authority over them right now. For those that are among us today, Lord God, that need a mighty touch in their body, Lord God, that need a healing, we declare that Jesus is their healer today, Lord. So in Jesus' name, friend, be healed today. For those today that are discouraged, that are down, we declare that Jesus, you are the glory and the lifter of our heads, of our hearts, of our spirit, of our life, of our church, of our mission, Lord God. We find total strength in you today, Lord. So we speak Jesus over heavy hearts and spirits today. For those, Lord, that might be here today that are standing in a place where they need a financial need or some type of other provision today, we're reminded that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God, our provider, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God, we look to you today with childlike faith, and we ask that you would provide for your people today. God, it is good to be here. We thank you for your presence today. We thank you for your ministry. And we pray that as we move through this time today, Lord God, that each and every one of us would have another life-changing encounter with your power and your goodness. So we welcome you today, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Can we give the name of Jesus another hand clap of praise today? Would you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good and God is in this place today. Amen. Amen. So good to have you today in the house of the Lord. Before you are seated, please take a moment and reach out and greet those nearby. God bless you today. Thank you. I asked Pastor, what's up now? He said, me. So didn't have a lot prepared. But we do want to take a moment and welcome those that might be visiting today for the first time. Thank you for being here. And we want to get to know you. So we would ask, if you would, please take a moment to fill out the Connect card. That's located in the seat directly in front of you. Swing by our Welcome Center right after service in the lobby. We'll have someone there to receive you and greet you, answer any questions that you might have about our church. And we have a nice gift that we want to give to you for being our special guest today. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. I want to continue to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving to God through our church. And you can continue to give online, or you can give through our drop boxes that's located at the back of the sanctuary. So that's it. So we're going to ask you to stand one more time, if you would, as Heidi and our team comes to lead us.
Oh, Yes and amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord and welcome Holy Spirit into this house today as we are so thrilled to be able to join together as the people of God. But it wouldn't be half as exciting and it wouldn't be nearly as meaningful if the Lord didn't join us every time we gather together. Amen. We're so glad today for the presence of the Lord in the midst of his people, and so glad that you are here with us today. We want to remind you as we think about this coming week's schedule that this Wednesday night at 7 we'll have services as regular service schedule this Wednesday evening. Then next Sunday morning is Christmas Eve. We'll be celebrating with morning worship at 10 o'clock only. One morning service at 10 o'clock, no Sunday school. And then we'll have our regular Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock next Sunday morning, or next Sunday evening. We'll send out the clarification of that by text message this week. 10 o'clock, everybody say 10 o'clock, 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and we're going to have a great time celebrating together. Then, 2 weeks from today, on New Year's Eve Sunday, we'll have one morning service at 10 a.m., and we invite you to plan to join us all through the holidays as we celebrate the goodness of God together. And here we are at the end of another year. Can you believe it? Seems like we just journeyed through Christmas last year. Here we are again this year and starting a new year in just a few days. And we are so grateful for the blessings of the Lord. How many of you, God has been good to you this year? Say a good amen. And we testify today that our God is so faithful. This morning we look to James chapter 5 as we continue our study through the book of James. We are thinking about the first coming of Jesus and this Christmas season, but as we come to our scripture reading today from the book of James, we are thrust into thinking about the next coming of Jesus. We're so glad Jesus came 2,000 years ago as a baby in a manger to grow up as the sinless, perfect Son of God who would then die on the cross for our sins, so that we might be saved, would rise again from the dead 3 days later, alive and powerful, the living Lord. 40 days after that resurrection from the dead, Jesus would ascend to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And even as Jesus ascended to heaven, two angels appeared and said to the disciples, "Why do you stand here looking into the sky?" They had watched him rise until a cloud hid him from their sight. And they continued to look into the sky almost as if to see him come back down right in that moment. And perhaps just in wonder and amazement, they watched as Jesus ascended to heaven, but two angels appeared and said, "Why do you stand here gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus whom you've seen go into heaven will come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And the promise of God has been in force till this day. Jesus is coming again. The Apostle James has a word about that today and a word of encouragement for us as we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we title this message, number 10, "Wait Patiently, People." But you know, as we are called to wait patiently, we're waiting expectantly as well. Could you say amen? Last night, I had the privilege of watching the funeral service online of one of my all-time favorite preachers for many years, Dr. Charles Adams, who pastored in Detroit for many years, had to be one of the greatest preachers in America and was a powerful voice of the gospel. And Dr. Adams passed away a couple of weeks ago. Last night, I watched his funeral service. Actually, I sort of fast-forwarded through some of it because it was a 4-hour funeral service. But they concluded that service with the choir rejoicing together and singing as people were departing from that service. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And can I tell you that even as I was watching a funeral service, I felt like I was about to be lifted into heaven myself in that moment. You know, friends, we have a glorious hope in Jesus Christ. The promise of everlasting life is out ahead of us. And whatever takes place in this troubled world, we have something to look forward to. Would you say amen? Amen. Well, let's read it in James chapter 5, verse 7. I'm preaching my message before I read my scripture. That is not a good pattern. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Would you say amen? Today we come to lesson number 10 in the book of James, a letter written to Christians and specifically addressed in the opening verse of James's letter, addressed to believers who were scattered among the nations. Everybody say that word, scattered. They were scattered among the nations. But these believers were not just scattered among the nations of the world. They were scattered among all of the troubles of this world. Jesus himself had warned, in this world you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There's trouble in this world, but there's victory ahead for the children of God. I grew up singing an old hymn that simply said, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. And that is our declaration as children of God who believe in the promise of God. And that's the message from James this morning. Trouble all around you right now, but be patient, stand firm. There's a better day coming. Patience is possible when there's a promise to look forward to. When we don't know what's ahead, it's hard to endure. But when we're looking forward to something beautiful in the days to come, we can endure the days of trouble that are right in front of us, looking for that prize that is up ahead of us. You can keep your nose to the grindstone on Wednesday when you know a paycheck is coming on Friday. Somebody say amen. The promise, the payday, in mind for the Apostle James in our scripture today, is the day we go home to be with the Lord. And troubles and trials are over. And so I want to consider today with you two simple messages from James today about the coming of the Lord for us. Number one, the Lord is coming, be prepared. And number two, the Lord is coming, be patient. Let's look at the first word today, and it's that simple exhortation. The Lord is surely coming, so let's be sure to be prepared. How many in the house today, you want to be ready when Jesus comes again, huh? Of course we do. And James urges us to be ready. Let's make a couple of notes this morning, and the first note is this: Christ's coming is promised. Verse 7, James takes it for granted and said, be patient, brothers, until the Lord's coming. When we use that word until, we're marking out our belief that something is indeed on the horizon up ahead of us. Be patient until the Lord's coming. Christ's coming for us is promised. Are you a child of God? How many followers of Christ do we have in the room this morning? Lift your hand and say a good amen. Amen. If that's you, then the promise of God is this: Jesus is coming for you. Now, there are a couple of options there. Option number one, of course, is our departure at the coming rapture. We know the scriptures promise that Jesus one day is coming in the clouds. He's coming to receive the church and to lift the church out of this world. That's the promise of God as sure as there is a Bible. Look at the scriptures with me this morning about that coming rapture of the church. Acts 1:11, this same Jesus from the mouths of the angels. This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Up into the clouds, he's returning in the clouds. Look at John chapter 14, verse 3. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everybody say, he's coming again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we will not all sleep. That means we will not all die. There will be a generation of Christians that will not die. If the Lord delays his coming, certainly more will continue to meet the Lord in death. But there is coming a generation, and we may very well be that generation. There is coming a generation of Christians who will not sleep. They will not die. Paul says we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed in a moment. The twinkling of an eye. Do you remember, some of you older folks, do you remember that old hymn? Changed in the twinkling of an eye as the Lord Jesus returns. And then from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. Everybody say, caught up. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I encourage you this morning, dear Christian, hold on. Hang on. The Lord is coming. And when he comes for you, are you ready for this? When he comes for you, you will be with the Lord forever. I don't know of a more beautiful promise than that. With the Lord for, everybody say, with the Lord forever. With the Lord forever. With the Lord forever. And so as James writes about the coming of the Lord for us, I believe primarily and in the first case, he has in mind our departure at the coming rapture. The coming of the Lord Jesus in the clouds, the catching up of believers into the presence of the Lord Jesus in the skies, our move from the skies into the presence of God in heaven. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And we're looking forward to that. Friends, I know that you are aware that we're living in a world today where all of the signs of the times are pointing perhaps to the very, very soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. The horizon before us and the world stage is set in such a way that Jesus could come at any moment. The promise of God is still out there ahead of us. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus walked in the flesh on this earth, but Jesus was sure to promise us that he would come again. And the Apostle Peter would remind us that a day is like 1,000 years for the Lord, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping the promise of his coming. He is patient. not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. But listen, when the moment comes, Jesus will return, we will be caught up, and we will be forever with the Lord. Hallelujah. Our departure at the coming rapture. Christ's coming is promised, but the second option, and some have already taken advantage of this second option, is our departure from this life at the Christian's death. When Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'm going to prepare that place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself. Do you know that every person he spoke to face in the flesh that day has been received into heaven by way of this second option? The departure of the Christian into the presence of the Lord at death. Sometimes we consider death an enemy, and the scripture calls death the last enemy that is to be defeated. But friends, I've got good news for you this morning. Jesus Christ has transformed death from a dark alley into a doorway into the presence of the light of God. And the scriptures are clear to remind us that when the believer leaves this world by way of death, that believer moves immediately into the presence of the Lord. Listen to the scriptures today, just two of them for us today. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul writes, I am torn between these two desires. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And Paul would continue in that statement to say, so I'm confident I will remain in the body for a while. But can I tell you that even as Paul was writing that letter to the Philippians, he would remain in the body, yes, for maybe about another 5 years, historians would probably agree on, another 5 years or so he would remain in the body. And then the apostle Paul himself would write his last letter to Timothy and would write these words, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. The time of my departure is at hand, and I'm getting ready to go see Jesus. And Paul said, when I leave here, I'm going to see the Lord. And then we read it from his own words as well in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Now the whole point in all of this, is everybody awake with me today, say amen. Amen. The whole point in all of this discussion from James is this point. That will be better than this. Are you here? This is filled with trouble. Huh? This is difficult sometimes. This can be a struggle. This has heartache. This has pain and sickness, yes? But that will be better than this. When we experience that, all trouble will be over. When we get to that, there'll be no more sickness and no more death. Hallelujah. When we get to that, all will be perfect peace and joy. That will be better than this. So hold on, hang on, keep on keeping on, Christian. Keep on looking forward to heaven, because heaven is just ahead. Hallelujah. So the Lord's coming is promised. Be prepared. Christ's coming is promised, and Christ's coming will be personal. I love how James writes this in verse number 8. You too. Without trying to dig into politics, everybody say, me too. Me too has taken on sort of a different meaning in current politics, but let's apply it to the scriptures this morning. How about that? And how many of you agree we should not always allow the world to steal all of the language and whatever they want to make of it? When we think about the promise of God and the promise of Christ coming, it will be personal. You too. Be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. You, child of God, he's coming for you. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. He remembers you. He's with you. He is coming for you. Not just for a group of believers. He's coming for each of us individually as well. And we're looking for, I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to rejoice in my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Aren't you? It wouldn't be enough to just rejoice that everybody else is in heaven. I'm going to be glad that I'm there. Yeah? And what a day that's going to be. The Lord is coming. Be prepared. Perhaps you're here this morning. You say, well, I don't know if I'm prepared or not. Well, the good news is Jesus declared that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord and believe in Jesus can be saved and ready for heaven. The Bible declares that Jesus died for your sins. He died so that you could be forgiven. Will you? Can you? Would you believe today that the death of Jesus on the old rugged cross was enough to forgive your sins? Yeah. And those who trust in Jesus and believe that he died on the cross for my sins and he rose again and Jesus is Lord, the Bible says you can be saved and you can be ready to meet Jesus. You can be prepared. I urge you today to be prepared and to be ready. If the Lord's coming takes place before we all go by way of the grave, then I want the sanctuary. I want this sanctuary to be empty on Rapture Day. Are you awake today? I don't want to leave 20, 30 people behind. I want us to be ready to meet Jesus. The Lord is coming, be prepared. The second message from James today, the Lord is coming, be patient. A little longer to go, maybe, be patient. Note the exhortation on patience from James today. Verse 7, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. Don't lose hope. Don't lose focus. Don't lose your sense of expectancy. Be patient. And wait a little longer until the Lord comes. Note the explanation of patience here. Verse number 8, you too, be patient and stand firm. Because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. You say, well, that's kind of a strange note to be plugged right into this discussion. Well, let's think about it. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, dot, dot, dot. Well, let's think about what patience looks like to James. First of all, patience involves standing strong. James says, be patient and stand firm. Don't let anything move you. Don't let anything knock you off course. Stand strong. How many here today have experienced some pretty tough troubles in this life? Let me see your hand. Anybody here ever goes through some real difficulties? Well, don't give up on Jesus in the midst of difficulties. Stand firm. How many of you here will pledge to me today? Not that your pledge to me really makes any difference, but I want to hear it. How many would pledge to me today that you're going to keep your eyes on Jesus and stand strong until you see him face to face? I pledge that to you as well. Again, that pledge, maybe that pledge doesn't mean much, but boy, it's encouraging to know that we are determined to stand strong till the end. Amen. Stand strong. Patience involves standing strong. Second, patience involves pressing past. James refers to patience in the face of suffering. So when suffering comes along, we've got to just keep on going until we press past that season and move on to the next season. Sometimes we depart this world in a season of struggle and suffering. That's okay. I said, that's okay. You know, one of our favorite sayings in the church is this, "This too shall pass," right? Sometimes this too passes in this life, and sometimes this too passes when the clock runs out. But how many of you know that stepping into God's presence in heaven is a much greater victory even than experiencing victory over some valley or trial that you're facing in this life for, and then go on for another seat? Because how many of you have realized already that the longer you live in this world, you know that when you've just come through one battle, there's another one down the road. Yeah. There's another one around the corner. You say, "Oh, I finally got the victory over that thing." Well, hang on, honey. There's another one coming around the corner. Coming down, as I used to hear somebody say who didn't really understand the expression, he used to say, "There's another one coming down the pipe." The real expression is, "There's another one coming down the pike." But if you want to envision something coming down a pipe at you, that's pretty bad too, isn't it? Coming down the pike means coming down the highway. Coming down a pipe is something else. If anything's going to come down the pipe at me, then I want to refer to another old slogan from the old church, and that is this: let's get under the spout where the glory comes out. If anything's going to drop onto me out of a pipe, I want it to be the blessings of God. How many of you could say amen? Well, that all was free today. Patience involves standing strong and pressing past, going through the trials and continuing on for Jesus. Thirdly, patience involves remaining right. And in the context of James today, that means remaining right with people. Listen to what James says: don't grumble against each other. Now, how does that fit in the context of this word today? It fits very easily. And I found this to be very true. Let's see if you find this to be true. When we're going through hardships, when we're going through our own troubles, and especially when we get our eyes off of Jesus, we can very quickly begin to criticize others. And grumble about situations and grumble about people. It is very easy, if we get our eyes off of Jesus and off of his mission for our lives, for us to become discontent and dissatisfied and have a critical, complaining spirit and begin to grumble about other people, and our relationships with other people fall apart when we're supposed to be standing strong for Jesus and remaining right with people. Are you here? Troubles in relationships among Christians is one of the greatest hindrances to the work of the church in this world. Did that fly over your head? Let me say it again. Relationship troubles between Christians is one of the greatest enemies to the work of God in this world. How many churches have been torn apart because people got off of the same page and began to fight and squabble with each other? How much work of God has been destroyed because people began to grumble against each other and participate in all of the other things that come along with the grumbling? And relationships fall apart. People don't work together anymore. They get their eyes off of God and off of God's mission and calling upon their lives. And relationships fall apart. And James warns the Christian believers. He's already warned Christians in this letter multiple times about the need to keep our relationships with one another right. James is packed with words that say, be careful that you keep your relationships with other people right. Now, in this discussion about the Lord's coming, he brings it up again and says, you'd better keep your relationships with other people right. Otherwise, you're going to get all messed up. If you're going to be prepared for the Lord's coming, keep your relationships with other people right. Sometimes we don't want to hear that. But I've learned that the Word of God is good whether we want to hear it or not. And if you, listen, if you want to be prepared for the Lord's coming, keep your relationship with God right and keep your relationships with others right. Amen? Otherwise, James says, the judge is standing at the door. And if you're not right with others, the judge is right there at the door to point you out and to judge you. James says you'll be judged. So when Jesus comes for me, I want him to be my savior and my deliverer. I want all of my sins to have already been judged on the cross. Amen. So patience involves remaining right. When troubles come along, don't get all agitated at everybody around you. That happens. Fourthly, patience involves looking long and seeing beyond this present into the future that is promised. Looking long because the Lord's coming is near. That's what patience looks like for the Christian. Standing strong, pressing past troubles, remaining right with people, and looking long ahead to the promise of God. Note the examples of patience James gives. Is everybody still awake and with me? I want to urge you that if James could write this letter again, I would urge him to write in there, be patient during the sermon as well at First Assembly. Because the dismissal is coming soon. What does James say about the examples of patience? Three examples, verse 7. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. Verse 10. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And verse 11. You have heard of Job's patience, his perseverance, and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So we have three examples here about being patient as one of God's followers. One, think about the farmer and his favorable forecast. Okay, he planted the seeds. What would you think if he planted the seeds and 3 weeks later he said, well, I haven't seen anything come up out of that ground. I'm just gonna forget the whole process. How many of you know that would be a dumb farmer? But the wise farmer knows what I have planted into the ground is eventually going to come up out of that ground and produce a harvest. I have some grass at the side of my house. Justin has cut that grass for me on more than one occasion. Have you ever seen, I don't know what it's called, but it's these grass things that just like rise up real large. I mean, in 3 weeks' time in the summer, that grass could come from the ground and be taller than me. You say, well, that's not much, Pastor, to be taller than you. Cut them down, it grows right back. Cut them down, it grows right back. Cut them down, it grows right back. You see, God has put into the fabric of this creation the laws of sowing and reaping. And when the farmer sows seed into the ground, unless there's some strange catastrophe, that seed rises up and begins to grow and flourish and thrive. And before you know it, what was just a tiny little thing has become this great harvest. And the farmer, the believing farmer, knows that's coming, and he waits patiently for it, right? Look at the second example. It's the example of the prophets and their passionate preaching. James says, take for example the patience of the prophets in the face of suffering. They spoke in the name of the Lord, and while they spoke in the name of the Lord, they were suffering. They were being persecuted. We think about Elijah being pursued by Queen Jezebel. We think of Isaiah scorned and shut out. We think of Jeremiah imprisoned in the king's courtyard. We think of Jeremiah being dropped into a cistern and left there to die. Thank God for Ebed-Melech, who dropped some old ropes and rags down there to get Jeremiah out of the cistern. But we think of the suffering endured by those who came against God's prophet. We think of Ezekiel mocked for his strange prophetic antics. He was mocked, even though he was speaking in the name of the Lord. These prophets continued to speak in the name of the Lord, even though it often brought them great trouble. In fact, Jeremiah endured one trouble after another. He would preach something and they would come against him. He would preach again and they would come against him. He would preach again and they would try to snuff him out. And one day Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 20, I'm done with preaching. How many of you could understand that? He said, I'm done with preaching. Chapter 20. He said, I'm not going to speak one more word in the name of the Lord. That lasted for about one verse of scripture. In the next verse, Jeremiah said, oh, but his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I can't keep quiet. When God tells me to preach, I've got to preach. He kept on going. He was at the end of his life, Jeremiah was dragged off to Egypt and died in Egypt. What a sad ending for the prophet of God. But he kept on preaching and declaring. So James is speaking here about patience and perseverance. That is, being patient in your spirit and continuing to persevere even through difficult seasons. Look at the third example. It's the example of Job and his junky journey. Job struggled even in his relationship with God. He questioned God. He challenged God to some degree. People sometimes want to look to Job chapter 1 and say, well, here says Job did not charge God foolishly. Well, that's chapter 1. Why don't you read past chapter 1 and chapter 2 and read the rest of the book? And when things continue to get difficult, Job began to really struggle with why God would allow these things to happen in his life. But despite all of that, he said, I'm not going to curse God. I'm going to keep on trusting God. I may not understand God, but I believe God is God. Amen. Are you here? I may not understand God. I may not understand all he does or all he allows, but I believe God is God. I'm going to continue to trust God. Job even said, though he slays me, yet will I trust him. Job thought for a minute, maybe God's trying to kill me. But God was not trying to kill Job. God wanted to bring Job into a brand new season of trusting him. And Job hung on. And in the end, the scripture says, Job experienced a lot better times in the second half of his life even than in the first half. And he was rewarded. These are the examples of patience. Lastly, on the outline, note the expected end of patience. What's at the end of patience? Fulfillment. What's at the end of a promise? The fulfillment of that promise. Isn't that right? If I say to Brother Larry here on the front row, Larry, as soon as I can scrounge it all together, Larry, I'm going to give you $7. And Larry waits Sunday after Sunday. He doesn't know why it's taking me that long to scrounge up $7. In fact, in the middle, occasionally he asks to meet with the deacon board to see if I'm being paid properly as the pastor. Why can't Pastor Lowell scrounge together the $7 he promised me? And a few Sundays later, he thinks, oh, what's going on with Pastor Lowell? Has he had some kind of financial catastrophe in his life? And he begins to search the internet to see if I have filed bankruptcy lately. And he's wondering all of these things. Why, when is my $7 coming? And 7 months later, because after all, how many of you know, scrounging up a dollar a month is about as good as it gets. And about 7 months later, I walk into church on a Sunday morning with a big smile on my face, because actually I've been avoiding Larry for the past 7 months. And I walk straight up to him with seven crisp new $1 bills. And I say, Larry, I promised you $7 7 months ago. And here are your $7. And the promise is completed. Although if I know Larry, he's probably going to say, well, you owe me 22% interest on that $7. At the end of a promise is the payment, right? The reason we can be patient and persevere when we're holding on to a promise is because somewhere down the line, at the end of the promise, there's a payment, right? How many here today, you believe with all of your heart that one day you're going to be in heaven yourself? Lift your hand, say amen. That's the payment up ahead. And so you may go through troubles in this world, but so what? Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So the end of patience is fulfillment. Verse 11, as you know, we consider blessed those who persevered. Verse 11, the Lord is full of mercy, compassion and mercy. And verse 8, you too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. The truth is, help is available with Jesus in the here and now. God is full of compassion and mercy, all right? He's not asking you to be patient and wait on all of this without his help. He can supply for you the peace, the strength, the help, the guidance, the wisdom, the supply that you need. Even as you're going through troubles in this life, the Lord will be. The promise of God is not just about the future. The promise of God is also about the now, and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And listen, as you follow Jesus, it's going to be a great day when we get to heaven, but today can be a great day as well. In the presence of God, the provision of God, you may be going through troubles, but the Lord is able to comfort you and help you and strengthen you, and he's able to get you through this season into the next season. And listen, all is good when God is on the throne of our lives. Help is available with Jesus, and hope is ahead with Jesus. So hang on and be strong, Christian. The best is yet to come. Here are my three action assignments for our closing today. One, permeate yourself with the promises of God. Hear me now. In this old dark world, we need something to look forward to, don't we? Huh? And we need something real to look forward to. So get a hold of the promises of God. Flood your life with the promises of God. In fact, I urge you, we have a variety of people in our church who are just absolutely saturated in the study of Bible prophecy and the promise of the Lord's coming again. We have people in our church whom I would consider to be expert in studying the promises of the Lord's coming again. And I think those people are some of the most joyful, encouraged people I've ever known, because they're looking ahead and they're thinking, oh, maybe today. And if it's not today, maybe tomorrow, but surely the Lord is coming. And when they, since they have flooded their lives with the promises and the expectation of the Lord's coming, They are so excited about that. They believe the promise and they're pressing toward it. Hallelujah. Permeate yourself with the promises of God. Second, pray for provision and power from God for persevering. I'll tell you, with the Lord's help, you can make it through anything. And you can keep living for Jesus. Amen. You don't have to fall away in doubt and unbelief. Right? Everybody say doubt, unbelief, get away from me. No, you don't have to fall away into doubt and unbelief. You can make it through any circumstance and keep your faith in Jesus. Just pray for the Lord's help. Number three, press on with patience in the peace of God. And let the peace of God just absolutely cover your life as you're looking forward to his soon return for you. I remind you that last week in James, we studied about the fact that nobody knows what tomorrow holds. Remember that? You say, Pastor, I don't remember sermons for more than 30 minutes after I leave the church. Do you remember last Sunday in the book of James? Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. Don't be proud about it. Trust the Lord with your tomorrow. Last week we heard James say, life is just a mist. Remember, I had you look at each other and say, you're a mist? And some of you misunderstood me and said to those nearby, you're a mess? Remember that? You're a mist? James is saying, life goes by so quickly. I think many of us in the room today would have to acknowledge, my life has flown by so quickly. I don't know where the time has gone. And it's just like, the older you get, the faster the days fly by. And so, you know, the reality is, whatever departure you're going to experience when you go home to be with the Lord, whether it's by way of the coming rapture or by way of the Christian's death, that day is coming sooner than you could ever imagine. So be ready, be prepared, be patient, and be at peace as you follow Jesus. Amen and amen.